climate action is still needed and will be needed for a long time, because unfortunately, because what we have done and what our parents have done and what their parents have done, climate change is happening and will continue for at least a millennium. So it's important to have a campaign now, but it's also important to plan for the long term. But the things that we do now will make a difference. And so it's important that we also have a strong science basis for the arguments that we use, so that we don't get misquoted on blogs or used by Andrew Bolt to argue that the Arctic ice is recovering or the climate system is cooling. And we also know that 2009, I guess, as Damien said, pessimism of the intellect, it's been, I guess, famous for politicians from both flavours last week to say that they're sorry. Yes, I'm sorry, because climate scientists weren't good enough in communicating climate change science understandings. And we left holes in the arguments that were used through misinformation in media reports to essentially identify gaps in understanding or supposed errors. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about those, not now, but in a workshop this afternoon, both about the IPCC and about ClimateGate. But almost all the supposed errors that have been talked about in thousands of pages of blog sites are completely false. There are two very, very small errors in the IPCC assessment in 2007 that have been accepted, and I'll talk more about them later. I have the report. It's on page 493 of 1,000 pages in only one of the three volumes, and it didn't make it to the conclusions. That's the one about the Himalayan glaciers. And it's also completely inconsistent with the next paragraph that infers that the glaciers won't disappear for 300 years. But that error has been blown out of proportion. ClimateGate, the illegal hacking of emails from the University of East Anglia, has been used over and over again through misquoting to identify either conspiracies by climate scientists, including myself, and yes, there are emails from me in the ClimateGate hacked emails, so I'm guilty. And yes, I was an IPCC author, so I'm guilty again, doubly guilty. Yes, Andrew Bolt says that I should be sacked because I was included in the IPCC and because I'm part of the ClimateGate emails. But the ClimateGate emails do not show a conspiracy of climate scientists to pervert the course of justice or to hide publications. The ClimateGate emails show robust scientific argument and discussions, and in particular what they show is that scientists are real people who, when attacked, try to fight back. And that fighting back is taking place now and will continue throughout 2010. On Thursday, a group called Climate Scientists Australia visited Parliament House. It wasn't in the media, because the aim was to provide the best information through private discussions with politicians, because they are keen to get the best climate, sorry, some politicians are keen to get the best climate science information. If you want to support ongoing communication of the best climate science information, there will be another forum at Parliament House on Thursday this coming week, where Universities Australia is organising now a public forum on climate change, because attacks on science, which have been occurring in the political arena and in the media, are attacks on Australian universities, are attacks on the modern way of life, because informed decision-making needs to be based on the best available information. And misinformation is being spread in the same way as the muck is being thrown at me to try to confuse informed decision-making. So this forum starts at 8:30, Parliament House on Thursday, being run by Universities Australia, which is what is essentially the consortium of all Australia's universities. And they're doing it to say that Australian science is strong. Australian science contributes to our understanding of climate change, and yes, the climate system is warming. Most of that warming is due to the increase in greenhouse gases. It's going to get worse in the future, and we know what we have to do to slow down climate change. So, is the climate system still warming? Yes. And it is hotter now, globally, than it has been at any time in the instrumental record or in the satellite record. The last 6 months is record high temperatures. The favourite data set used by the climate change sceptics, the satellite data. No corruption by urban heat island influence. No corruption by these conspiratorial scientists removing stations at high latitudes. No corruption of adjustments of the data. The satellite record shows that now is the warmest at any time in the satellite data record, and the last 6 months is the warmest at any time in the satellite record. The last 6 months is the warmest at any time in the last 150 years. Global warming didn't stop in 1998. We haven't cooled. It is a significant warming trend over the last 15 years. Sea level is rising at the upper limit of all the IPCC projections. Arctic sea ice, depending on who you talk to, if you talk to Andrew Bolt, he'll tell you it's recovering because the sea ice in 2009 was higher than it was in 2007. But in 2009, it is lower than any other year for which we have observations. February 2010. January 2010, winter Arctic sea ice is lower now than it was at any time except in 2007. There is ongoing Arctic ice retreat. Global emissions of greenhouse gases have grown rapidly. They're 40% higher now than when the Kyoto period started in 1990. Despite the supposed emission reductions under Kyoto, Australia will hit approximately its Kyoto target. But let's look at what Australia has been doing in terms of fossil fuel-based emissions. Australian emissions from transport and fossil fuels for stationary energy have grown by more than 25% since 1990. The only reason Australia hits its Kyoto target is because the Australian clause in the Kyoto Agreement, which allows Australia to get out of reducing its fossil fuel-based emissions. It's a one-off credit. We can't keep doing it. And Australian emissions in the future grow at the underlying rate of 15% per decade, unless we have concerted action. So what do we need to do? We know what we need to do. Scientists have been saying for more than 10 years that urgent, sustained, substantial action is needed to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. They have to fall by at least 50% globally by 2050. Most people, except politicians, know how to allocate a limited resource fairly amongst a wide group of people. If we had a chocolate cake and we were distributing that amongst everyone here, we'd all get a very thin slice. But it would probably be roughly the same slice per person. If we allocate the same approach for greenhouse gas emissions per person, Australian per capita emissions have to fall by more than 90% by 2050, because Australian per capita emissions are, together with the United States, amongst the highest in the world. We know what we have to do, and neither the Liberal Party policies nor the Labor Party policies are sufficient to achieve the objective which the Labor Party signed on to in Copenhagen, which is to minimise the future warming at less than 2 degrees above pre-industrial levels. To do that, we have to have greater than 90% emission reductions in Australia, together with more than 50% emission reductions. That's the best case. The worst case is global emission reductions by 85% by 2050, and by 97% in Australia by 2050. We need a zero carbon energy source rapidly. Climate scientists can help you guys, but for a whole range of reasons, climate scientists are handicapped through two components of the Australian system. The first is, fortunately, there are very few David Carolis in Australia, and we can't clone me. But there are very few climate scientists in the university system that have the freedom to speak out about climate science. CSIRO imposes major constraints on the ability of the climate scientists in CSIRO to speak out. So, you guys have to work even harder to take the information that is available in the climate science, both in Australia and around the world, to build your campaigns on the best available science. My discussions with politicians on Thursday indicate that there is strong support within the Liberal Party from a large number of Liberal Party politicians for action on climate change. But they're scared, because there is a feedback cycle that works in the political system in just the same way that positive feedbacks work in the climate system. If politicians sense that public opinion is swaying from action, and media campaigns have suggested that public opinion is changing, even a small change in public opinion is amplified. Liberal Party politicians are scared. Tony Abbott didn't win a landslide victory. One vote got him in. It's important to remember that there is a core group of Liberal Party politicians who, if public opinion, as it will, rebounds for action on climate change, who will change and become strong supporters. That change in public opinion isn't up to me, because of the pessimism of the intellect that Damien talked about. It is up to you, because you have the optimism of the public support and the will of your advocacy action. I'll try to give a quick answer on the Zero Carbon Society, but there are many people here who know much more about Zero Carbon Society. But it's exactly the same picture that Christine talked about, except that it is powered by renewable energy systems. We have the technologies now that can produce now 90% emission reductions very quickly, and the quickest changes are through energy efficiencies. Then we go to renewable energies. We have major efficiencies in terms of transportation. We have localized if you like, production industrial systems. We have local community action and local communities that are doing the different things that Christine talked about. Unfortunately, a carbon tax and zero coal will not be enough. In addition, we need regulation on energy efficiencies in existing and new buildings, and we need regulation on transport efficiencies. Australia's average car has worse fuel efficiency than China's average car. Australia's energy production system has worse efficiency than China's average electricity generating station. Why is it that we're less efficient than in China? Because we have a bad regulatory system.